Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Welcome, everybody, to the Forward with Purpose podcast. And we have a great panel of women today. We have Jill Marquis with CareNet. Of course, Linda Keener Thomas, the co-host, my co-host. Tanya Flores with Reproductive Loss Network. Lavette Vassar with CareNet. Sylvia Blakely with The Rise Daughter. Tony Brubaker with PDHC. And Cindy Harless with Abortion Recovery Alabama. And we are having a great discussion. And just to give you all a little insight, we just had a half hour really good discussion on a topic and I forgot to hit record. So we're going to have to do that one over. But this session, we are going to talk about the woman who won't tell her husband about her abortion because he is pro-life. Now, this is not, I don't think this is something that I've encountered personally, but I could see how it would be hard if you came into the relationship without telling your husband or before you ever got married and just were too afraid to tell and share your story, or maybe you oppressed it so much. And then, you know, the Lord helped you remember after you were married that you had an abortion. And now what do you do? Right. So there's all kinds of different scenarios. And so I just want to open this up for discussion about how, I guess, we would have this conversation, how we would encourage them going forward. What would be the most important thing that she should know? And I just want to hear from you ladies, because y'all have been doing this a long time.
You know, I think this is such an interesting topic because, when my husband asked me to marry him, I told him, you know, oh, hey, by the way, you know, I've had an abortion. I didn't go into anything else about it, and he didn't ask me anything about it. But the reality is the child that I aborted was his. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until much later that we had that conversation. But all of that to say, I have not had this specific incident where somebody was afraid to, you know, tell their spouse because of, you know, that their fear. But I did have fear in telling my children about my abortion. How would they receive that information? And there was a tremendous amount of fear on my part about that.
Fear is a powerful force. I mean, we see it in Peter, right? Peter spent 3 years walking with Jesus on the inside circle, saw a lot of things that the other disciples never even saw, swore he would never deny Jesus. And then because he was sitting by the fire with the people that were against Jesus and afraid to be outed that he was one of Jesus' follower, he denied him 3 times, right? Fear is so powerful. And we haven't walked that close with Jesus ever in terms of that kind of personal closeness, you know, with God that Peter had. So very powerful force. So, well, first let me ask you, any of you here, and you can choose not to share, but did you get married and then later tell your husband you had an abortion? I'm like Jill, I disclosed that right off at the beginning when I met my husband, because I thought, well, if he's going to leave, let's get it over with. But he's still here. So, you know, it's all good. But did anybody else have this actual story in their life?
Yeah, I did. So I had had 2 abortions prior to meeting and marrying my husband. And then we were later on in our marriage faced with a situation in a pregnancy where we then made a choice to have an abortion for medical reasons. And I think that it, and I didn't get healing. So he only knew he was involved in that decision, but he never knew that I had had two prior abortions. So I was carrying that. And when I went to the doctor, that was telling us that we needed to do this for the medical reasons, that was the first time I had shared. And he said, and because I said, I cannot do that. I've had two prior abortions. And, his response was, the past is the past. We need to worry about this one. And so it shut me down. So then I didn't tell my husband either. And so when I did finally get healing, years out then from that third abortion, which was with my husband, that we were married many years. And when I went and I told him, when I got healing, I said, look, I need to tell you something. The abortion decision that we made was not my first abortion. I had two abortions prior. And he said that he was very graceful. That doesn't surprise me based on what I know about your life. But it was really hard. I mean, I felt like we were kind of in this counterfeit. And then he went for healing, and that brought on more guilt for me, right? Because he didn't know. But I've also had this situation with a client, and it was real hard for her. And it was unique because I had never had it before, but she was coming and wanting help. She said, my marriage is falling apart. I've had two abortions. My husband doesn't know. I really believe that if I tell him, he will leave me. He's extremely pro-life. I've known that since the day that I married him. And she said, but I have a stirring on my heart that I need to get help, and I need to tell him. And so we handled it really delicately. And I will tell you that the best thing that I was able to find the best thing that helped us move forward was that so he grew up and was very Catholic. She was not. And she said he goes to church 6 days a week. And she said, I don't know how to explain to him that I lied to him, and I know he will not be okay with this. And so we got another male involved. Somebody there again, resources are just so important. But we got somebody involved that he could talk to and had that person. And I had to ask a lot of questions because she was using phrases that I wasn't familiar with. And so that was helpful at one point when she finally did come forward and tell him. And it was about halfway through her working through the program of Forgiven and Set Free. We had this gentleman reach out, and it was somebody that understood this her husband's faith very, very well, and the terminology that was going to be used, and also understood the grace that was key in that. And so he was able to talk to him man to man and work through. And so he was meeting with him on a reg the male and the husband were meeting on a regular basis, and we were meeting with her. But it was very delicate. And he was very angry. At one point, he said their entire marriage was a lie. And but I will say this, he put his name on the baby's certificates as their father.
I
I
love
mean, it
that.
was just beautiful,
That
just
is
beautiful
sweet.
to watch that transformation.
That's a great story of restoration, but they sure
And so
had to
it's
go through
not
some hard
really.
things.
Yeah, it's not really just the abortion, but at that point, it's the deception being a major issue. Yeah. I think about the way the enemy works, and this is where my mind has gone, is what better way? He's always attacking the family. If we attack the nuclear family, what the Lord has built society on, and if we can keep the husband and the wife who I have put together, let no man, pull apart. No wonder he operates like that, and he gets into our head with the fear that if I tell him, he's going to leave me. This is going to drive us apart. And so, I mean, I just have to believe that as we work with women and men in these situations to make sure that we're lovingly bringing that up. The enemy wants nothing better than to drive a wedge between you. And are you, as the husband, as the head of the household, who Christ calls to die for your wife and your family, are you going to be that man? Now, I said that in a way that I would probably do that a lot differently if I were actually speaking to someone, but that's where my mind goes. What about you guys?
I love this topic because for me, my husband was a strong believer when we got married. And so I was a performer of following Christ and mimicking. I didn't have a relationship with Christ. I was just mimicking what I saw, what people did at church. And when it was revealed, even my children kind of looked at me like, well, who are you? And so from that day on, I was like, I will never wear a mask. You know, who you see at Walmart is who you're going to see at church. And I just always knew that, like, the lie, like you were saying, being so deceiving, and it didn't work out, you know. And it was one of the things, too, that he once said when I finally came clean, he said, I knew something was wrong because every time the doctors would ask how many pregnancies, you got very angry.
Interesting.
So although I thought I was lying, I wasn't doing it well.
That's interesting. Thank you, Lavette. Thank you, ladies, for sharing these tender stories with us. I know you all are used to sharing your stories, but we're talking about something very personal, and that's our marriages, and I appreciate you sharing, really.
I was going to add, I know there have been situations where, people in marriages have, they have a deep and dark background sometimes, and there may be multiple points of shame that they've lived through. It could be, molestation. It could be, it could be lots of things, and abortion could be one of those things. And I think sometimes people feel as if, they might be okay to share one or two things. Like if you're living with somebody that's fairly strongly pro-life, you might share your molestation, or you might share something else about your past. But that thing, yeah, you hold on to that. So, there's oftentimes that too, that people just have a lot of baggage that they're dragging along, and they may feel pretty good about being able to share some things, but
Yeah,
some of those,
go ahead.
yeah, they just don't want to open.
I'm sorry, Sylvia. I want to pivot because you bring up a really good point. I just want to pivot this conversation a little bit because for some reason, I don't know if it's your experience, but I get this experience with women. They feel like that all of all the secrets and points of shame that you talk about, that you mentioned, Sylvia, this is the one that we have to tell everybody. Do you ever get that with women? Like, this is the one that they're most concerned about. Do I have to tell this? They don't necessarily feel like they have to tell about the other things, even though there's lots of these other points. And yes, it's easier to tell somebody, yes, there's molestation in my past than there's abortion in my past. Molestation was done to me. Abortion is something I did to them. And for some reason, it seems like this abortion, like if we aren't telling everybody or telling at least the important people in our life that we're somehow doing something wrong. And so I kind of want to talk about that for a minute and just tell me what your experiences are with that, if you have that experiences with the women you've dealt with or in your own life. And
Well, I think that our society is so cracked over abortion that some people, fight to protect the right, and others, protect for the life of the unborn. And when you have a spouse that might be more activist minded and says things to you, or you hear that, your spouse saying, and you're sitting there knowing that you've had an abortion, you're taking that as if you that's your personal hit. And that starts to, layer after layer after layer. And that was, one of my persons that I was helping, was her husband was very vocal about his support for pro-life, and she just knew, I'm a murderer. I mean, that's what he calls them. And so that was what she was identifying with, is all of the things that he had said when he, goes out into the sidewalk and things like that.
Did she
So,
feel like she needed to tell him?
well, being in a marriage, she was not a believer of Christ when they got married. And so she just didn't really think much about telling him, because it was like my past, my thing. But as she drew closer to the Lord, and she knew that secrets aren't good in marriage, and she didn't want any secrets from him, and she knew that her total healing was needing to have that come out. That was her struggle. And it wasn't until further down the line in the weeks that we were meeting, that was something that I think she was probably keeping to herself for many weeks. And then it got near the end, when you start talking about telling your story and things like that. Yeah, it was just it was really scary for her. I mean, we're all talking about fear and why, and we make a lot of assumptions of how people will react and such. And I love, Tony, the story that you shared, and how you all took such tender care for that couple. And I hope everybody has that level of care, and really listens to the different individuals and what their beliefs are, and what is the best approach for them. So I learned from listening to you and sharing your that story. But yeah,
And I
it's
think the question we sometimes get is, do I have to tell? And I know I had one gal who was having a rocky point in her marriage. They were apart, had an affair. And I believe it was a biracial affair, cross-racial affair. And she had the abortion because there was no way she could have, told him. And now is at both believers and, but she still does not feel like God's given her the freedom to do that, that she feels like the marriage would be in jeopardy. So do we say, yes, you have to tell that there's no secrets, or do we say, you listen to the Lord and you do what he says?
Well, I definitely say you listen to the Lord. I had a young lady come in, and she had had an affair on her husband who was deployed. And once he came back, before he even came back, she had an affair. She got an abortion. He came back home. They was having some marital issues. She had an affair, and she came to see me again. And so, you may not always want to say the things that I say, but I definitely told her, now you have found out that your marriage can be built off of lies. What do you think about it being built off of the truth? And I was like, I'm going to strongly suggest y'all get counseling. And they went and got counseling, and she admitted to her affair, and he adopted the baby as his own.
Wow.
And
Oh,
that was,
I love that.
she never
Gosh.
thought in a million years that would happen. And so I often think, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And if you have an affair, or if you have an abortion and your husband doesn't know, that is something that could come out in a way that you may not want it to. I always tell my children and my husband, do not let somebody else tell me.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about motive. Because motive is something that we need to investigate and understand, and we need to help our ladies understand in terms of why they're even wanting to share, right? I mean, yes, we need to go to the Lord first, and yes, we are one with our husbands, and yes, we don't want to keep secrets, but at the same time, what is the motive behind it? What is the relationship actually like? Is it going to sustain this kind of truth? Is it an abusive relationship? Will it cause more harm to her? I mean, but what is the motive? I'm kind of all over the place with my question here. So, I just want to open that up and see what you guys say.
Yeah, I think that's really important, is motive, because it could be a weapon too, in a fight. Like, well, this is what happened, and da 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 da, and I think that going to the Lord and in His timing and His wisdom, that's the what we want to, I think, lead people to. And you're right, just the situation and such, but it does take time. I think as people draw closer to the Lord, that becomes very apparent because the enemy wants us in chaos and confusion and secrets. So it's timing, it's motive, letting God's sovereignty, is going to play in that. Who is the Lord? Trusting Him in that process and giving that person time and space to process, as well, knowing that they might have a lot of questions, and are you ready for that? That was something, I mean, it wasn't my spouse, but it was my parents, the way they found out it. I had had so much healing that by the time my parents found out, I was in such a strong place that I was able to have a very healthy relationship with my mom. The other side was not healthy, screaming and yelling at me, but I was calm. I knew who I was in Christ. I knew that I wasn't condemned. And I was able to look at my mom in the face and have that conversation with her from a Christ-like perspective. And even though her motive was not biblical at that point, and finally over the years, now we're okay. But it might be that way too, that you're just trusting the Lord in that they're going to, the Lord's going to work in that other person's heart as well. And Lord, I trust you to work in their heart. And you're going to go before me. And you're going to tell me the timing and the trajectory of that.
And
I know
allowing
you.
the other person the time to process that. You may have to take a step back after telling and give some time for that healing, time for them to deal with it.
I was going to say, we also, examining our own motives, why, there are some people that are not entitled to our story. And there are some people that are entitled to only a portion of our story. And so to be very discerning about that, and coming back to what Tanya said about knowing who she is in Christ. So when we're walking people through this healing process, particularly Forgiven and Set Free, the character and nature of God is the longest chapter. This is the most important chapter. Who is it that you can trust? And it's Him. And so understanding who He is. And building on that, and that, depending on how long somebody's been walking with the Lord and their level of faith and trust in God, that may take time. But again, also looking at our own motivation, why is it important for me to tell so and so? Why was it important for me to tell my kids? Well, because I'm getting ready to stand on a stage and tell everybody that we know about this. And so you should probably know before they do. Kind of thing. But like Linda said, also giving people the space to process and not expecting them to come at you with grace like we want them to, because they may not be there yet. I think about, the guy who was very pro-life and, people who choose, people who commit abortions, that's murder and all of that. Yeah, that's all true, but where's the grace? You can speak truth to me all day, but if you don't come at me with grace, you're with love, you're a clanging gong.
And it took us time to grieve. We've got to give them time to grieve.
Yeah, I think the 3 points I get out of this is giving us time to pray about, to prepare their hearts before we go to them, to prepare our hearts, to examine our motives. Is it from God? And then to give them permission to be upset, I think is the other thing I'm hearing in all of this, because like Tanya's story, it might really hurt them that they lost even a stepchild, if you're married and this husband he wasn't a part of it. So giving them permission to be upset and giving them the grace to have that space. So my last question to you as we kind of come to the end of this is just how, as helpers, do we, so maybe the lady is not strong in her faith yet, or a bit spent years in her faith, but maybe she's diving deep, but either way, she knows, she feels like she wants to tell him and she needs to tell him. How do we as helpers help her to identify if because if she's struggling to identify what her motive is it from God or is it something else? What kind of questions or things can we be asking or are looking for to kind of help her make that discovery?
Oftentimes I think that a lot of what we do is even more than abortion recovery. And I say it this way, we are literally discipling women, right? And so when we take that mantle on fully, I think it's an opportunity for us to help them become more discerning about the voice of God, who he is in their life. And again, Forgiveness Set Free is awesome for that chapter about the character of God. But one of the things we know about us who've had an abortion in our past is that we didn't trust God, right? So that should be an area that if nothing else, we can lean into with women about how to hear from God and how to trust what it is he's telling you. Because then you'll know your why and then you'll know your when. But that takes discipling, and that's not always something that, happens in an hour and a half or 2 hour session, right? Sometimes that goes deeper. And are we willing to walk that out with them?
That's good, Sylvia.
And just one little thing that I think is so good is I have given women opportunity to go speak into churches and stuff. And it's really cool because I would take like four of them and they would give their testimony. And when they did their testimony, they would actually come after that and say to me, that was as healing as going through the class. I got as much healing sharing my story. Now, it may be a little bitty tiny church out in the middle of nowhere and they don't know anybody there. It took all they could do to get there and they're shaking when they do it. But when they come out on the other side, something's been broken in them. Telling that secret breaks the chains and it's a whole another level of healing on the outside of after going through the class. So I just think I have seen it being a healing process, and like Sylvia said, I really think that as you teach them to pray and you disciple them through this, because I use Forgiven and Set Free as well, and as you get them, they're get closer and closer to God. I haven't had anybody come up and say, well, I mean, they just do it on their own. I mean, eventually they, because it's usually about midway. But when they first come in, very first thing I say, no, you don't have to tell anybody. Don't have to tell anybody. Some of us, we have, billboards out with our faces on them saying, hey, I had an abortion. Hello, we want to help you. But you don't have to do that. And so, but they get to the point where they have such compassion for other women and want to get that, knowing that their story will bring him glory. That's when it becomes powerful.
But if their husbands don't know, they don't have the freedom to do that.
Oh, absolutely not. That is, I go by the little thing that they have to tell their husband, their children, their in-laws. We talk about all of that, but that's in the lesson.
I think just also thinking back to Tanya's point that in her story, when she went to tell her parents that she was then strong enough in the Lord by then and secure enough in her salvation that when her parents came at her and attacked, were upset because of their hurt and their pain, she was able to sit there with grace and respond, right? And I think that's key too in helping them discern their maturity level in Christ. What is their confidence in the work of God, in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? And how are they even going to respond if somebody attacked them? Are they even ready? And so, and even if it's their husband and their husband shows rejection or quiet, some men respond with quietness, and like that kills me when my husband does that. So helping them to understand, I think their maturity level might be, a really good thing because I agree with you, Cindy, sharing our stories brings further healing. I mean, what greater gift from another person, especially one who does not have abortion in their past, to be able to share their story with your story with them, and they give you and they extend to you that grace and acceptance, right? That's a huge gift. It's bigger than the gift from abortion to abortion woman, right? I could share my story with another woman who's had an abortion all day long, and we're going to extend that grace because we each have been there. But for someone who hasn't had an abortion, even with whether we meet them face to face or not, like we're standing up in a pulpit or we're on social media or whatever, but when we are are extended that grace by that one that comes up to us, that's all that makes all the difference in the world. And I think telling our husbands who don't have abortion in their past, right, about our abortion experience, whether hopefully it's before the marriage, but if it's after the marriage, because of whatever those circumstances are, can bring so much more healing depending on his response. And so, and maybe it's a delayed response. I don't know who was sharing that the response initially was hard and then later came back as, I think it was Tony, the story you were sharing, that he initially put his name on the certificate for the child and that kind of thing. And that just probably enhanced her healing to a whole other level and took their marriage to a whole other level. Well, we're at the end of this session, and I just thank you ladies so much. I love hearing from you. I learned so much. So